We're going to approach a thought today we're going to call The Search Continues. All right, we're going to be in Isaiah 55, so if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we will be there in just a few minutes. But as always, it's on the wall, and it's in your bulletin, it's in your Bible. It's one of the largest Old Testament prophet books you'll find there in your Old Testament, so you can follow along there just as well in a few minutes. But before we get going, I just want to ask you a question, see if you can interact with me a little bit, and then we'll head off to the text here. So, have you ever been looking for something that you had a hard time finding? All right, and so we could think in terms of like something that was lost. Like we lost a Lego head at our house yesterday, or so we thought. And we looked all over for that thing, right, and couldn't find it. And lo and behold, it had bounced and rolled up into a stocking somehow. Somebody who was going for a candy found the head in there. All right, so I don't mean like looking for something lost that way. I mean like you're out trying to buy something, you're looking for something for somebody or maybe for yourself, and you just can't quite find what you're looking for. So how many of you in this room will go ahead and buy something if it's close enough? All right, so we've got some people who are close enough people. How many of you can pass up something that's close enough to look for the exact thing? All right, so we've got some exactness in here too. That's me as well. I fit that bill. And so I probably let a lot of good things go by just because I'm looking for the perfect thing. I've got a pastor, for any pastors in Chicago, and every year, November 1st, he'll post on Facebook that the search has begun. And in Chicago, he's looking for a 30-pound turkey. That's what he wants on his Thanksgiving table. And so he'll often post, you know, take a picture of himself in a grocery store, you know, in the frozen food section, and he'll say, you know, I'm at this store, and the search continues. Because he found an 18-pound bird or a 10-pound bird. And so it's kind of fun because people take pictures, and they always send them to him, you know, and he'll mock their little 22-pound bird, you know, because he's looking for this majestic 30-pounder that continually eludes him. And so the search for him continues. For me, in like some real simple ways, this past fall I was looking for a pair of jeans. You guys ever have trouble buying clothes? Man, I bet I shopped for 2 months looking for the pair of jeans. Now, some people could care less. My dad could care less. As long as he can strap a belt on and they'll stay up. If they're short this much, he don't care. If they're this much long, it doesn't matter. If they're this baggy, I don't care. To me, that's close enough. What I want is the exact fit. And so, man, I'd purchase something and get it home, and it's not right, take it back. And then I'd order something, get it home, it's not right, send it back. And maybe that's a little vain, or maybe that's a little picky, I don't know, but that's the way that I worked on those. And matter of fact, I'm still looking for a couple pair of pants that we've been shopping all over the place for. But trying to find the exact thing sometimes leaves me to continue searching. And I think we've come through a season of searching. Haven't we? We've been searching for the right gift, the right size, the right color. Anybody struggle to find the right gift? No? Some of you have? Okay, so we were in Old Navy here maybe 10 days ago, behind a girl in line, and she pulls her phone out, and she starts talking to a friend of hers. And this girl is shopping for her boyfriend, and she is just so beside herself. She's so upset. I don't know what to buy him. I have no idea. These guys are so hard to shop for. And then she's, you know, what are you buying your dad? What are you buying your brother? I've got this shirt, and he's not going to like it, but I'm buying it anyway. And you could tell she was just struggling because this wasn't what she wanted. And in her mind, even though she was making a purchase, the search was going to continue. Now, I think sometimes, church, this can bleed over into other areas of our life as well. So we've talked about simple things like jeans or pants or shirts or maybe the perfect Christmas present. But I think sometimes we find ourselves settling, spiritually speaking. We look for something that gets close enough to offering and being able to sustain us with joy or satisfaction. We buy that, and it may last temporarily, and we'll just continue searching until we land or until we purchase or until we buy from the Lord. And so today what we're looking at is in the area of fulfillment and satisfaction. Are you fully fulfilled? Are you entirely satisfied? Do you have unspeakable joy, things that the Bible speaks about? If not, for you, then the search continues. And maybe for us today, it's just a reminder that we need once again to come back to the place and buy where all of these things can be purchased. And so Isaiah 55 is going to give us some clues here about how we can continue this search and how we want to do it in the right way. And so we're going to read just the first five verses, Isaiah 55. Looking here, is Isaiah is talking about the one who is to come. And he's prophesying about the one who will accomplish these things in our lives, referencing here most often the gift or the Son of God, Jesus himself. And so Isaiah 55, we're going to read the first five verses. It says, ho, all right, or this is like an exclamation. It's like, let me get your attention. Anybody ever say, hey, at you? You know, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, so that's what this is. Ho, let me get your attention. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. And surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So what I want to look at today here is this idea of finding real joy or happiness, because a lot of times it's wrapped up in a day, right? And we've talked about this here as we've come through Advent Conspiracy. A lot of people have Christmas blahs, right? They just kind of get down, it's over, and the decorations are coming down, and we've got rain instead of snow, and all the gift-giving is over, and the hype's gone, movies are done, music's quit, and it's like, where did Christmas go? Where did Christmas go? Right? It's still right here, as much as it's ever been. And so Christmas is not just a day on a calendar. It's Christ in us, and he's fulfilling us, and he has a desire to delight us. And so we're going to look through that today and really try to, once again, search out the things ultimately that can leave us full of joy, entirely content, and God fully honored and pleased as well. So three things we'll note as it relates to satisfaction. And the first one is this. To find satisfaction, we've got to bring our thirsty soul and bring our empty pockets to the Lord. Bring your thirsty soul and bring your empty pockets to the Lord. And so here we see initially there's an action that's required. Okay? Do you remember we read it? Verse 1 of Isaiah 55. Matter of fact, he says it there four times. There's something that we have to do. And we even sang about it here this morning. Let's go back to verse 1, though, and it reads this way. First word is come. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So what do we have to do? We have to come. We have to come to him. Come to the waters. We have to approach him. Now, think about it this way for a minute. Some of you in this room are children, and probably the rest of us in this room can remember what it was like to be a child. Can you remember when you were outside, maybe at a neighbor's house, and your parents called for you to come eat supper? Did your parents ever do that? I mean, my dad would come outside and he'd say, hey! And we could be, you know, seven or eight houses down. Boy, we'd get on our bikes and we'd come home, or we'd start hopping fences to get home because we knew it was supper time. If we were outside, our friends were over, maybe we were playing something outside, they'd come open the front door and say, hey, it's supper time. Now, I don't know how it worked at your house, but my mom would never bring supper outside to us. That probably wouldn't work very well, would it? Hey, listen, we're not coming in, so will you bring it out and just set a table right here? We'd love for you to feed us out here. You know, mom would say, well, you can eat grass. And if that's what you want to eat outside, you eat whatever you can find outside. And so for us, if we wanted to eat, what would we have to do? We had to go, or we had to come to the supper table. So the food was all there. Everything we needed to satisfy us was already on the table. All we had to do was come to the table. And so here Isaiah is making very clear, you want to find contentment? You want your search to end finally? Then you've got to come. You've got to come to the one who can fully satisfy you, or the one who can bring you full joy. And so four different times he uses that little word there, come. This is the one who will satisfy you. Jesus echoed this same thing, didn't he? Matthew 11, 28, you remember when he talks to people who are weary and distressed, what's he say to them? He says, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so initially, if we're going to find what we're searching for, we've got to come to Jesus. We've got to make ourselves approach or do the things that are necessary to approach him. So think of it this way for a minute. Let's say you were extremely thirsty, and we could offer you a bottle of water that had a few drops in it, or we could give you the other end of a hose that was attached to a spigot on a house. All right, now I know we're in the days of filtered water and spring-fed water, and if you drink out of the hose, you die. All right, but if you're extremely thirsty, which one are you going to choose? The hose, right? I mean, you're probably going to take that chance, as am I, because I want to be satisfied. I mean, three little drops are not going to get it for me. And so that word waters there, when he says, come to the waters, it's plural. And that's an abundance. And it means it never runs out. It's just like standing there with that hose in your mouth and just taking in as much as you can. And you get filled and it's just flowing out of your face. And we can never exhaust the water, the joy, the gladness, the delight that comes from Jesus. And so he says, you can buy some other things, and we'll get into that in a minute, or you can come to me and you can find yourself fully satisfied. And so we're looking here initially, coming to Jesus as the source of our contentment. But I want to notice also here how we are to come. All right, so four times he says come, but let's look here about how we are to come, because it seems like there is a contradiction in this text. He says, come thirsty and buy from me even though you're broke. Come thirsty, all right, which means you have a need, and I'll satisfy that even though you have no money. And so let's say that we were going to go grocery shopping today, and we walked through Shop and Save or Schnucks and Walmart, and we got three or four carts full, and we just walk right through the checkout lane, and we wave at the cashier and make our way out the store. Are they going to let us go out? No, because we've not offered them or given them any money. We've not bought it, right? So what Jesus is saying here is we could do that. We can just come to him, and we can push our cart right on by, even though we don't have money. There's no cost for us. And so how can this be? Let's go back to the text, and we'll see it. Verse 1. So again, come four times. You've got to come to the table. You've got to come to the waters. Come who all who are thirsty. And so here's also this, it's pointing out that everybody can come, right? The New Testament, John 3:16 says, for whosoever. The Old Testament right here, it doesn't get any clearer. It's not just the gospel's for a few or water satisfies a few. Anybody. If you're thirsty, you come. Come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, plural, abundance. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. So how can we buy something without money? I mean, there's a cost required, and so it means that somebody had to already pay the price. And that's the picture here, right? So there was a cost for me to be able to offer you an abundance, and that price has already been paid, and so now you can come and drink freely. You can come and take from this without cost. Even though you have nothing, you can get everything. And so here we see that true joy and this true satisfaction found in Jesus, the joy and the peace that the angels pronounced, has been purchased for us. We've sung about it today at the cross. We sung about it in Here I Am to Worship, and by his wounds there was this blood sacrifice that was made, paid, so you and I could have peace, forgiveness, joy, gladness, that we could find what our souls are searching for. And so that's why Jesus offers this to all. And so everybody's got to come, and you can get fully satisfied, but it costs you nothing. And that's good for people who don't have anything. What's it cost those who have a lot of worldly goods? What's it cost the wealthy? What's it cost the rich? What do they have to pay? They have to pay the exact same thing. And so for those who are in the 99%, which would include you and I in this room, as it relates to the rest of the world, we've got to come to the waters the same way. We've got to come, we've got to have this thirst, but we're just freely going to receive by believing in Jesus what it is that he has already paid for. He's the one who will satisfy and quench what our souls are searching after. And so initially here, to find satisfaction, we're talking about coming to Jesus, all right, thirsty, but also coming to him with empty pockets. I cannot purchase my own satisfaction. I cannot buy my own delight. You've already paid for that, and so now I just believe. That's the picture here, believing in Jesus, believing that he is the one who will delight you. And so initially there, we see satisfaction is found through thirsting, through coming there, and also through buying without money. All right, let's go secondly here, and this is where the Lord's really been dealing with me over the last few weeks. Secondly here, to find satisfaction, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for the things of this world that have no ability to offer us satisfaction, at least permanent. Be thankful for the inability of worldly things to fully satisfy. So you've often heard me say, well, what have you heard me say when things break down? What do I want things to do? Just work, okay? Maybe that's not how you view it, but I know you've heard me say that quite a bit. I just want you to work. That's all you have to do. So I'm not asking my lawnmower to solve world hunger, right? All I want you to do is when I pull that little handle, I want you to start and cut my grass. It doesn't take very long. There's not a lot of work there to do. Just work. That's all you've got to do. And if you've ever been in a situation like me, you find things that you want to work not working. And so how does it leave you? All right, so frustrated. Anybody else? You ever thrown something? Expressed a little bit of your frustration? Kicked something? Screamed at something? Loaded it in a truck and thrown it in a dumpster or in a lake? Right? Sometimes we do those things because you're not working. All you have to do is just cut my yard. I'm not asking for my furnace to heat the world. Right? I just want you to heat my little house. Okay, so my little 972 square feet, just heat my house. That's all I'm asking. And sometimes when it doesn't want to work or when it needs a little part, then I can find myself getting frustrated or annoyed because what's supposed to work is not working. I'm not asking my car to grill a perfect steak. I mean, I like steak as much as anybody, but that's not the job of my car. My car is just A to B, so when I put the key in, I want it to just start. That's it. Even some days, I don't even care if everything else works on it. All right? That's the point I'm at. All right? So if the air doesn't work, okay. Heat doesn't work, whatever. We'll deal with it. I just need to get from here to there. And I just want to be able to count on you. When I put it in, we're going somewhere. And when you put it in and it goes click, 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 anybody go, oh, thank you, Jesus? No, we start pounding something. We're like, oh, come on. All right, we may have some words to say. Maybe it's things we wouldn't want to say out loud, but there's something often that flows through our head. And so for me, that's the struggle that I've had, looking at this principle. And Isaiah makes the principle, and you know this principle. You've known this longer than I've been alive for some of you. But it's the idea of this. Temporary things cannot satisfy an eternal soul. It's just impossible. You can't put the temporary in the eternal and it gets complete contentment. Temporary works with the temporary. Eternal works with the eternal. And that's the principle Isaiah is trying to outline here. And so let's go back and read Isaiah 2. We're just going to read the first half of this verse. 2a says, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? And so I understand that's not new to us. All right? So don't put your hope in stuff that's just temporary, because temporary stuff's going to break. It's going to leave you. It's going to let you down. We put our things in things eternal. However, where the Lord's been working on me is there's more to the story. So earlier I asked you, you know, when you come to the Bible and you read something as if you just never saw it there before? For me, this is one of those things. You ever felt like you've just wrung a text out, you know, like you would a towel, and you've got every drop out of it? Sometimes that's how I felt about this principle or this idea of temporary cannot solve or satisfy the needs of the eternal. And so here's the thought I had. Here's the nudge that I've had from God. When things break, when things fail, it's not enough just to not get frustrated. It's not enough just to go, the temporary cannot satisfy the eternal. Now what he's asking me to do is to be thankful. Be thankful for the inability of temporary things to fully satisfy. I think one of the cruelest things God could have ever done was to help, was to create this world in such a way where we could be fully satisfied in things that were not Him. To me, that would be cruel. To walk here and to live here and feel fully just the joy, the delight, everything, peace, and then to stand before God and go, but you didn't have me. I was like, but I had everything. I was so full. I was so delighted. See, I think one of the greatest ways God has built us is that we cannot be fully delighted or satisfied with the temporary things. And so for me, it's about being thankful. Even right now, I mean, here in the last couple, last day, you know, last night we're sleeping with one eye open. We've got water almost up to the back of our house. And I mean, it's probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet deep out behind our house. And people beside us have got water coming in their basement and people posting stuff. I mean, stuff starting to come out to the curb, you know, carpets coming out and just, and you think about Christmas and it's all wrapped up in the stuff and now the stuff's being ruined and how can this happen? And so my wrestling with the Lord has been, can you be thankful? Can you be thankful for the inability of temporary things to satisfy you? And for me, this really started ringing true about 3 weeks ago. Yeah, I like to be outdoors, really doing anything. And I had an opportunity to go hunting with my brother here three weeks ago. And it was getting morning, you know, early morning. You got to get up about dark 30. And some of you have been playing golf or making a trip. You just get up early. You know, it's 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, somewhere in that area. And I just wanted to stay in bed. I mean, I did not want to get up. And it's like, man, I don't get to hunt very often. Why do you feel this way? And I started getting frustrated with myself, like, this is something that you really enjoy. Like, why are you not just wanting to roll out of bed and just go take off after it? And so I went and hunted, got up finally and went hunting with my brother, and it just kind of stayed in my mind, like, why is it something that I used to find real delight in not fully satisfying me? And it just clicked, honestly, about a week ago. It's because it's not supposed to fully satisfy me. That's what I've been praying for. You know, God, I don't want to find delight in the things of this world to where it draws me away from you. And so the things that get my, maybe my deeper delight or whatever I can get more excited about, I don't want that to be anything other than you. And so it was just drawing me back to the truth. Not only can temporary things not satisfy, but I need to be thankful that God has created us in such a way that they cannot satisfy. How cruel of a God would he have been to say, have all the things of the world, find full delight, and when you get to heaven, you messed up. You missed it. So one of the tools he uses to draw people to himself is that gentle nudge that these temporary things cannot satisfy. And so let me ask you a question here as we keep on progressing through this point. When you hear the word broke, does that create a positive or negative kind of emotion in you? It's usually negative, right? And so let's think about it for a minute. So sometimes we say we have no money. We are flat, what? We're flat broke. And so nobody gets all excited about being flat broke. And I believe God's also built in us this natural disappointment when things let us down. But there's more to the story there, and that's what we're trying to say here this morning. So we can be flat broke. What about when you put that key in the car and it won't start? We say that car is broke, what? Broke down. You ever had to make that phone call? Hey, I'm broke down. Can you come help me? All right. Or maybe you were in a relationship with somebody at one point in your life, and that relationship ended. And so you're talking to your friends about it, and you said, me and so-and-so, we broke what? We broke up. All right. And some of us in this room have dolls, or maybe have had action figures, or we've had things that just lost parts to it. And so that piece is now broke off. Right? So we've got flat broke, we've got broke down, we've got broke up, we've got broke off. None of that creates within us like this gladness, does it? I mean, you're looking pretty somber right now, and I'm not even talking about your life. Broke down, broke up, flat broke, broke off. None of those things create in us a real excitement or a joy or enthusiasm. And yet all these things are pointing to the one who is consistent. the one who is true, the one who is faithful. And so what God's working with me on is the idea of being thankful for a flooded basement. Be thankful for a broke down car, right? Be thankful for lack of money, flat broke. Be thankful for a struggle in a relationship. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and then give thanks how? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, there's positive in all the broke. I've had the privilege here of coaching girls in basketball here for, 9 or 10 years, and you start off by teaching a principle, and then you try to get that principle to kind of come to fruition on the court. You know what I mean? And so we teach this little principle right at the beginning. You've got to dribble if you want to move. Okay? So you can't just pick up the ball and take off running. Some of you know, what's that called? Traveling. Okay? And so we teach that. We teach it here first. So what's that called? And you'll ask the girls, and they'll tell you every time, oh, that's traveling, coach. That's traveling, coach. And I'll demonstrate it. I'll get up and run with the ball. What do you call that? Traveling. Right? So then I ask them, get up, and you do the same thing. And so we work on that. Move or dribble before you move. And so the game starts, and you huddle your team, and you work through some of these basic things. All right, remember this, remember this, remember this. All right, we get out on the court, and the ball tips, and what do? It's like they're a running back for the Chicago Bears or something. They've got the ball tucked, and they're running all over the place. Like, what are you doing? And the ref blows his whistle, and he calls them over, and you know what you did? No. I guess you know what you did. You were traveling. And I think that, yeah, that's right. Oh, no. And coaches are like, yeah, you took like 20 steps. I think that's how God works with us sometimes. God reveals a principle. And so we can say, okay, God, I know that temporary things should not satisfy me. Okay, God, I know that I should be thankful in all circumstances, just like Paul says there in 1 Thessalonians. I know I should be thankful, but sometimes when life happens, it's like I'm those girls out on the basketball court. I'm getting annoyed. I'm getting frustrated. It's affecting my mood. It's affecting how I'm treating people, and I'm kicking stuff and going, why don't you just work? When God's going, all this stuff is doing is pointing you back to me who's faithful. You got your delight wrapped up in this stuff, and it just can't delight you. It's not bad stuff. It's just not built to bring you full contentment. And so here it is. To find satisfaction, we need to be thankful. Not just know the principle, but be thankful that the things of this world cannot fully satisfy. And what that brokenness does, it just paves the way for that healing to come. It paves the way for that relief to come. It paves the way to remind us that God is consistent, faithful, true, always, when everything else around us may not be. All broken things do is point us to the one who's perfect. So learn to find satisfaction by giving thanks for the things that are unable to satisfy your soul. And then third and last here, as we've talked about searching for joy or contentment or satisfaction, to find it here, three, is to submit to the Lord. And his promise is, I will fulfill you. Submit to the Lord and he will fulfill you. And so Isaiah is going to summarize this prophecy with one little word, and it's the word eat, E-A-T. Submit to the Lord and he will fulfill you. Let's go back and read it. Verse 2 of Isaiah 55, the second half of that verse says, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And so what does he say here twice? He says, listen. When we say that to people, what are we really after? Right? Their attention. It's like, you can't miss this. Okay, so maybe up to this point you've just been distracted, but he's just saying, hey, listen. Listen. Make sure you don't miss this. And he's saying here, come and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. He's saying, listen, I know that you've often searched for the temporary things to satisfy you, but what you're finding is that they just can't do it. When the car breaks or the relationship ends or the money's gone and your hope and security was in those things and you start fretting and stewing and worrying, so there's purpose in that. That's to point you back to me, the one who is steady and consistent, who never changes, who is always ready, always the same. He's saying those things, really, they're good things. because they point you back to the one who ultimately will satisfy. And so knowing that we have a need, we've got God the Father giving the Son to be the need fulfiller. He's the Savior who can satisfy forever. And so he says, come to me. Come to me. I know what you need, and I will satisfy or I will fulfill that need because I am amply able. Come to me knowing that I will work in your life. Right? Come to me, just like Isaiah says here, come and buy from him. Come and eat from him. The idea here in eating is that we submit. So it's not just believe, but go live differently. It's not I get the principle, but I don't live like it. All right, it's come and buy, so that's believing. But now he's saying, eat from me. Take this in. Submit to me. Live your life in such a way where you're following my word, where you're enjoying the partnership between my spirit and my perfect word. And what he says here then is, I will fulfill you, or I will delight you. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. It's that song we sang this morning, right? Hey. That's how we could start it. Hey. Turn your eyes on Jesus, okay? And look full in his wonderful face. And guess what? The things of this earth really will grow dim. As you start to consider him and as you remember things about him that are eternally perfect, that never malfunction, that never quit, that are always ready and able, all this other stuff that you seem to think matters so much, it just fades. It grows dim. And so that's why we sing songs like that. That's one of the reasons we gather together. It's to remind ourselves of things that are true. And so we can call that out to one another and we can walk out of this place encouraged rather than discouraged about maybe a situation we're in or the stuff that we have that has let us down. Come, listen, listen, eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. There are two things here he says that we're to buy and eat from him. One he says is we're to buy and eat wine. And the picture here is that of gladness. All right, so come to me, read my word, let my spirit nudge you, work with the proddings that I bring your way, and you're going to begin to find joy and that gladness that my word expresses. It's joy, we sing about it, it's joy unspeakable. It means you really can't define it. You should be upset, you should be disappointed, you should be frustrated, but what you're doing, you're looking at that and realizing God's faithful. And all that's doing is just stirring your joy. People look at it and go, man, why are you that way? And say, well, it's joy unspeakable. It's God in me. It's this wine that I've bought. Now I'm taking it in. It's this delight. It's gladness. So come, he says, eat. Come, buy. I'll bring the wine and I'll make you glad. Come, buy and eat or take the milk from me. And the idea here is that he will strengthen us. He will nourish us. He will grow us. He will mature us. And all of this happens in partnership with his spirit and his word. And so therefore he says, submit. Don't just buy, eat. How foolish would it be to go to the grocery store and stock your pantry and your refrigerator and just sit around your dining room table starving to death? We would say that's foolish, right? All you got to do is just go in your pantry or your refrigerator and get stuff and start eating. And that's what he's saying here. Don't just say, hey, I believe in Jesus. Right, let's take this word in and let it be transformative in our life. Let's go out and live like we believe in Jesus. Right? It would be just as foolish to say I believe in him and yet to lay his word aside as though it has no role in my life. And so he's saying here, submit. Eat from me. Let me be your Lord. I will reign in you. I will rule over you in ways that are for your good. And here he says, if you'll do this, listen, listen to me, eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. That means there's nothing else on the planet that you can find that will content your soul the way that I will. There's nothing else you can find in a relationship that will complete you the way that I will. Right? There's nothing that you could purchase or attain with money that could satisfy your need the way that I will. And so here it is. The search can continue. You can keep buying into the stuff just as I can. Or we can find our contentment and our satisfaction as we come and buy and eat from the only one who can delight us with the richest of fare. Listen, many in this world are thirsty today, and they're looking all over for things to satisfy. Maybe in this room you're part of the thirsty. Maybe you'd say, there's this searching in my soul that I just cannot satisfy. content. I cannot satisfy. There's a little song that says there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. That's not literal, but the idea is correct. God has created us to be contented only by Him, satisfied only in Him, and anything else that tries to fill that hole, it just can't do it. It's empty. It's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. They just don't work. Maybe today you're here and you're thirsty and you're trying to find contentment or satisfaction. Maybe you're grabbing hold of the temporary, asking it to supply something only the eternal can offer. Maybe God's helping you see that today. Maybe you're in a position like me. You've been disappointed because all you want is stuff to work and it's not working right now. Maybe God's speaking to you and saying, hey, and be thankful for that. Let's don't get frustrated. Let's don't get annoyed. Let's be thankful for that because it's just pointing you back to me. I'm steady. I'm forever strong, right? I have all the riches of the world. I can supply any need that you'll ever have. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be afraid. Come, buy, and eat.